On episode 426 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Kristen Carter and discuss her book, Lose Weight, Exercise More, I Don't Think So, What to Do When Your Doctor Tells You to Make Changes for Your Health. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/426.
Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go.
Hello, and thank you for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness Podcast. I'm really glad you're here. If you've ever had that conversation with your doctor, you know the one. You need to lose some weight and you need to exercise more. You're going to like today's conversation because more than likely, that doctor never told you exactly what that looks like. But our guest today is. She's going to tell you exactly what it's like, and she's going to give you some strategies to get started and doing the right things for weight loss and for exercising more. But before we get into that, I just wanted to take just a moment to talk about the elephant in the room, and that's obviously the coronavirus. Now, on this podcast, I am not going to spend a lot of time talking about the coronavirus because Facebook is inundated with this stuff, as is the media. So you're getting all the news you need. You're getting all the advice you need. I don't really have that much to add to this conversation here, but I did want to say that coronavirus has changed all of our lives, and many of us now are very different places than we were just a couple weeks ago. I had to close the gym for at least 2 weeks, and I fully expect they're going to extend that longer. And my wife flew in from the United States on Monday, so we're in a self-imposed 14-day quarantine. So my life from a day-to-day has changed drastically. But I'm using that time for self-care, and I hope that you are too. If you're struggling in this realm, I'd strongly encourage you to check out 40 Plus Fitness online personal training. You can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/coach and learn more about how it works. But basically, we have a conference call weekly. We have a private Facebook group. So we're able to get together and we're able to work with like-minded people for accountability for all the others. I have workout programs through our own app. So you'll have an app on your phone. You'll have your workouts on your phone. And any questions you have, you'll have a coach in your corner to help you out. So go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/coach to learn more about that. Also, in the near future, I'm going to be launching another round of the Wellness Roadmap Workshop. This workshop is a program that's 5 days long, and it's basically an intensive where we go through over 5 days setting up how we're going to do this whole wellness thing. So we set our GPS from the commitment to basically understanding ourselves to setting really personalized, specialized goals for the things that we're going to accomplish. And then we're going to look into what are those things that have held us back in the past and what are the things we see in the future that might hold us back. And we fix that. We find alternate routes around that. We set this GPS so that we can get well. It is so much better when you have one of these plans in line. So I hope you will join us. Now, you can learn more about this one of two ways. You can email me directly, alan@40plusfitnesspodcast.com, or you can go to our Facebook group, 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/group. That's going to take you to Facebook where you can request to join. We're just over 950 members, so I'm pretty ecstatic about how the group is going. It's a lot of fun, a lot of like-minded people out there, and I'm constantly sharing information, weekly challenges, all of that. But if you're interested in the other things we do, some of them are free, some of them are paid, but if you're interested in any of it, that's really the best place to go for information. But if you don't go on Facebook, I understand. Just email me directly, alan@40plusfitnesspodcast.com. Now, our guest today is the creator of Design for Fitness and has been working in fitness nutrition for over 25 years. Her passion is helping people become healthier, more energetic, and able to move better by making fitness and nutrition a regular and accessible part of their daily lives. With no further ado, here's Kristen Carter. Kristen, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's interesting. We're recording this. I'm in Panama and you're in Sydney, Australia on vacation. I do appreciate you taking the time out of your vacation to have this conversation because I do believe you have quite a bit to share with us. Your book is called Lose Weight. I guess I should say as a question, lose weight, exercise more. I don't think so. What to do when your doctor tells you to make changes for your health. And I think many of us have been there where the doctor's like, hey, you know, you need to lose some weight. You need to exercise a little bit more. So I think this is a really good conversation to have.
Great. Yeah, I'm excited. So, I know there's a lot of people out there that get that, and doctors don't have time to really say much else. That's part of the problem. Yeah.
Well, you go into the doctor's office, and the very first thing they do is they take you in that little room, and they stand you on the scale, and you see that number, and then they sit you down and take your blood pressure after you've seen that number.
That's true.
So now your doctor's like, you got high blood pressure and you're overweight. At least 67% of us in the Western world are. And so we go through the process and I'm stressed out because I'm at the doctor. Yeah, I'm stressed out because I just saw my weight. And, you know, I don't want to be at the doctor's office if I don't have to be. Or at least that was my opinion earlier as I was going around looking at health and fitness. So I've been in that chair. I've been sitting there across from a doctor with him telling me, you need to lose some weight. You need to exercise more. And I didn't. You know, that was not my trigger. So what is happening? We go into the doctor because we want to get healthy. We want to get fit. Most of us intrinsically trust our doctor. If he gave us a pill and said, here, you need to take this pill for the next 10 days, we would religiously take that pill. But he tells us we have to go do some exercise or we have to start watching what we're eating. And in many cases, we don't. In some cases, maybe even just the opposite.
Correct. The problem with that is, you know, it's one thing to take a pill. That's such an easy habit to develop. You just chuck it down there when you're supposed to. But losing weight and exercising more are both really complex issues for people. And little wonder that they would just tune it out at that point and go, well, where do I even start with that? Even if I want to, let's say you do want to, where do I even start? What's the best way to go? And that may not go anywhere either.
Yeah. I know, obviously, I'm a health coach. And so I get this all the time. I'll be talking to someone and they'll say, you know, I really want to eat better, but, and you can go down the list. I don't have time to cook. I don't have time to shop. The things I like, they aren't necessarily good for me. And the things I should be eating, I don't necessarily like. There's a series of actual valid reasons why it would be difficult to change what you're eating. And it's kind of the same thing with exercise. Well, I've got this pain in my hip. I've got this pain in my knee. The doctor said I shouldn't do a lot of this or a lot of that. And so kind of finding a program that would work for someone that would really move the bar just sometimes seems, all those things just seem so hard. Why is that? Why does it seem so hard to make a change like that?
Well, because it is hard to make a change like that.
Okay.
I don't think that gets enough credit with people. I mean, they think, oh, I should just be able to do this. I should just be able to do that. And then there's a lot of discouragement that comes in when they just do something and it doesn't work out. So the point is that things are so complex. And once you are aware of that complexity, I think, that is the first step. And then giving yourself a break, like, oh, no wonder I couldn't get this done. But it's also a fine line between that and feeling overwhelmed also. So good idea to chip away at it. There's plenty of ways to do that, which we can talk about later. But I think that's where you really need to start, is to kind of forgive yourself for not being able to do it. I mean, people go on diets all the time. I'm not sure about that. I think it's 40% of all Americans are on a diet right now. And if they were working, they wouldn't be on that diet anymore. And clearly, that is not a viable solution to this. So that's the other thing you need to wrap your head around.
Yeah. So a couple of things that I'm hearing, I guess. One is that we have past experiences. I tried a diet and it failed. I tried another diet and it failed. And then I got really excited about this other diet that I saw on this TV show and I tried it and it failed. So right now, this person doesn't necessarily have a lot of confidence in themselves that they could ever even consider a diet or that it would ever work. That's one thing I'm hearing. And then I guess the other thing is that as we look at what we're supposed to do, there's so much information, there's so much there to say, okay, exactly which direction do I want to go with this? Because someone's telling me to eat this way and someone else is telling me to eat that way. And, you know, I'm reading an article over here where I can eat Twinkies as long as I eat less than 1800 calories a day and I'm going to lose weight. So we've got the complexity of how, we've got the experiences of past failures. And so it sounds really, really difficult. And it is really, really difficult. But there's a cost to us just standing still and saying, I can't do it. And you call that the cost of inaction, because you take a few minutes to go through the five costs of inaction.
Sure. I think that as we get older, particularly maybe you hit the 40 mark, we start to slow down. And you look around, you go, well, everybody's slowing down, so what? But once you slow down and there's less activity, the less, then you want to do less. So the second step is there's not as much moving around. You start to feel more sluggish. And when people feel sluggish, a lot of times they're tempted to eat more because they want that lift. And in fact, eating does give your brain a lift. It just doesn't necessarily give your body the lift that it really needs, which is movement. So you may find you'd rather do lunch with your friends than take a walk. They're all doing the same thing. They're going to lunch. So you end up eating more and it creeps in. You don't even realize that you're eating more than you used to.
Yeah.
You're not following kind of the same internal guidelines that you used to have. And then if you're sitting and you're eating Twinkies or whatever, and you're gaining weight, pretty soon you're going to start getting some diseases. You will get high blood pressure. Diabetes is so common now. Heart disease is extremely common. And then sometimes it moves on to cancers and different areas of your body. And then and still, you may be saying to yourself, well, that's just the way it goes. That's what happens to people. But the problem with that is, you know, if you go along, you become a burden. You become a burden to yourself and to other people. And not just in terms of not being able to do things, but financially. It's a huge burden. I just wrote a blog about being sedentary, and turns out that being sedentary and obese costs the health system $107 billion a year, just from that. And who's paying? Some people actually go bankrupt.
Yeah.
And you just got to think about that. You don't want to go down that road if you can help it.
Yeah. And it's a caveat that they teach you when you're trying to sell a gym membership. You know, they'll say, explain that this doesn't cost that much relative to this. And that's a really hard dynamic for someone to bridge and say, oh, so what you're telling me is that you could be saving me tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars later if I just do a few simple things now.
Right.
And it's actually true. It's actually true. Not everybody is going to succumb, but it's a pretty good bet that if you're not taking care of yourself, you're going to fall into this aging curve that's going to lead you to chronic disease and some of these other things that people have to deal with as they age. And for me, I've always kind of joked that I want to be the guy who can wipe my own butt at 105. And it's a joke, but it means a lot to me the way I say that, because my grandfather was in his 70s, I mean, it was in his 90s, and he could not.
Right.
And so he was in a nursing home, unable to take care of himself and unable to leave, because if he had to do anything, he was stuck. Mm-hmm. And he just felt really incapable of going anywhere. So the loss of independence, the loss of that, and then not wanting to be a burden. But, you know, he had to go into a home, which was very, very unfortunate, because it's a small room. It's him and the nursing staff. And right. Even though he had visitors on a regular basis, it still wasn't his home. And so those kind of things are in our future if we're not kind of just taking a few of these steps. And so when the doctor is telling you to lose some weight, to exercise a little bit more, this is actually what he's saying. I don't want this health outcome to happen to you.
Correct. But it may not come across that way. It may just come across as you should do this. And I interviewed many doctors before I wrote my book. And the upshot is that a lot of people don't really understand their bodies and the disease processes that happen. Often people just think diabetes, for instance, is something that just sort of comes along. They don't realize they can reverse it or greatly reduce that by eating well and exercising more. They don't understand about insulin. And the same thing with heart disease. They may think, well, you know, I guess my arteries get clogged, but why? And what has inflammation got to do with it? And what does my eating habits have to do with it? There's a disconnect there. And maybe some, you know, doctors do have some time to tell people about that. But often it just sounds like something you're supposed to do.
Yeah. And I'll wholly admit, when my doctor told me I needed to lose weight, I looked at him and said, well, we're in the same club, because he did too. I didn't say it out loud, but I thought it's like, okay, he's advising me and we're on the same path together. We were probably roughly about the same age, I would have to guess. But it was just one of those things of me saying, I guess I need to find another doctor because this guy doesn't understand me. I've wised up since, obviously. I wouldn't be where I am today. But it was not the doctor telling me that. It was me seeing some of this decline myself. The person that I wanted to be, I stopped being able to be. And I, you know, as you grow older, these reminders, they come to you time and again that this is who we are. I do a deep clean of the gym I own twice a year. And so it was the time for the deep clean this weekend. And so I'm in there moving mats around and equipment and carrying it from one side of the gym to the other to free up the floor so I can mop and disinfect and do all this cleaning. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. And I'm like, you know, 6 months ago, I did this with almost no problem. I did it in the 2 days, and I did it over 2 days this time. But I was like, wow, I've got to start working on my grip strength. I've got to start working on my stamina, because I want to be able to maintain my gym. I don't want to have to hire that out. I want to be able to take care of my wife if it comes to that. I want to be able to take care of my children if it comes to that. And I don't want to be that burden. So there are a lot of reasons for us besides our doctor telling us these things. Mm-hmm. But like you said, or like we talked about earlier, it seems like there's just so many things we can throw at it. And we'll see this video of an 80-year-old woman doing CrossFit. And it's like, well, I'll never be able to do CrossFit. So it just seems like that's a definition of fitness, or that's where we want to aspire to. Or someone's sitting there saying, you know, I'm completely vegan and I'm not eating any meat products or any animal products whatsoever. In fact, I don't even want my stuff cooked on anything that was that. And that, again, just seems so far over there that it just seems a little beyond us. But your premise is that it really doesn't take those kind of monumental steps for us to really get some huge benefits.
Yeah, that's correct. And they don't all need to happen at once. So I think many times people think they have to revamp their lives, and that doesn't appeal very much. So what we can do with that is just go, look, here's a normal life. You have your normal life. Other people, there's a whole lot of media stuff going on out there. They're trying to sell you things. They're trying to sell you an image. They're trying to sell you a diet. But who's in charge of those things? You need to step back. One of the things I say in the book is, where are you getting your information from? Are you getting your information from somebody who's trying to sell you something? Or are you getting your information from, say, for instance, your doctor who is into reading research, or some other place like Mayo Clinic, where they do the research and they interpret it for you as best they can, instead of trying to sell you a particular thing. So,
yeah.
That's how that goes.
Right.
I'm sorry.
That's cool. That's cool. And I think that's important. One is, the one that you got to was, it does not have to be a big change. And two, it needs to kind of fit with your current lifestyle so that it's sustainable, at least for a certain amount of time. And then three, it has to make sense. It has to be something that the source of it is something that you trust. They're not trying to sell you some potion or pill and saying, here, drink this and you won't be hungry half the day. Therefore, you won't eat as much and you'll lose weight. Those are typically not, probably not safe, but definitely making someone some money. And if they worked, those folks would be billionaires, richer than Richard Branson. But they're not. They're still hawking powders and stuff. So they're probably not the answer to the obesity crisis that we have going on right now. Can you kind of walk us through just a kind of like a not a case study per se, but just if someone were going to kind of take the steps and things you're talking about, how would that look?
Okay. Well, it starts upstairs. It starts with your brain. So first of all, I think it's important to not feel like you're a victim to circumstances. You have, in your life, you have done lots of things. You've made lots of choices. You've moved forward. You've done all sorts of things. So why would you do that here and just go, well, that's just the way it goes? You do have options. They may not be the options that you think you have because of all the media and the hype and all that stuff, but you have tons of options, actions that you can take that fit you particularly. And there might be what about this, what about that? You know, I've got a bad hip, I've got that. There are ways to go to physical therapy, get an evaluation, find out if some of that can be fixed. Maybe some of it can't, but you can still work around it. And so I guess really one of my big messages is it's about taking care of yourself. It's not about trying to look like somebody else or trying to follow somebody else's program. It's about good nutrition and good movement, period. And you can make steps to go towards those two things.
Yeah. As I was going through my journey, one of the things that kind of came out of it was, at least the first step was, I inherently knew that if it didn't look like food, it probably wasn't food. And so I completely stepped away from things that were in a jar or a box or a bag. And for the most part, a can. I did eat some canned fish just from a convenience factor. But I stopped going down the center aisles of grocery stores. I, you know, stopped remembering what aisle ketchup was on or something like that because I didn't eat those things. I walked the perimeter of the store and then I started going to the farmer's market because I found the prices were even cheaper there for organic. So I was at farmer market on Saturday morning, which was another slow change of behavior. So it started with the little step of just saying, if it looks like food, I can eat it. If it doesn't look like food, I'm not going to eat it. And I did that for a while and I found ways to cook it and make it taste good, ways to eat quick if I needed to eat quick. And then that led to the farmer's market and being a little bit more clever about the foods I was putting in my mouth. And then over time, I was realizing, okay, there's certain things that because I'm not eating them, I feel really, really good. And there were certain things, experiences that I had that were other pieces of data. Like I had dreams about bread. And I'm like, why am I dreaming about bread? I'm like, bread must be that habit forming to me that I'm actually having dreams about bread. And so just that was a huge epiphany for me in my brain. It's like, I actually have a food addiction to bread. And I need to be aware of that because that's good data for me to have as I make decisions about how I want to live my life. And so it was that those kind of changes over time managed to just snowball to better and better eating over time. And it didn't feel like I had drastically changed my diet until 2 years later, I realized how much I had. All the things that I used to eat that I didn't eat anymore. All the things that I used to have in my pantry that I didn't have in my pantry anymore. I had a lot of pantry space open because I didn't have boxed and canned foods. You know, my refrigerator was full, Great. But my pantry was not. And so it's kind of those little things that you start learning as you go forward this, with this. And similar things with exercise. I didn't go out thinking, because I was training for a race. That was part of the impetus for the fitness. But I didn't go at it thinking, I have to be ready for the race. I went at it saying, I need to walk 30 minutes and then I need to put a jog into it. And I need to just start building the stamina and building the strength I need over time. I've got 8 months. I don't have to be there today. And kind of putting those as those little steps and little goals and mini goals. And so I really do like this approach of making the small changes and then letting it snowball.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing is that builds on itself. As you just said, I don't think people realize that once you start eating fresh foods, foods that your body likes, it does build on itself, and you start to not want those other things that you used to be eating. And there will be a transition there. And also, once you reach a certain point with exercise, as long as you're doing it in a reasonable way and not going for a marathon right away, you can build that up. And probably after 2 or 3 weeks of soreness, you know, let's be fair, you're going to start to realize that, in fact, it does give you more energy. You do feel better. And you're like, oh. So then it's about how you feel inside what's happening in your life that is going to keep you moving forward.
Yeah. And I think that's an important thing you just said there, that you do need to give it some time. Experiments, when they do experiments, you're doing an experiment. And so you're making a small change. It's still a big change. So don't think it's a little change, even though it seems like a little change. It's a big change, because in the long run, it's going to be very good for you. But you've got to give it enough time to see what it's doing for you. And in the book, you say at least 2 weeks before you consider adding something on top of that. But it might be 3 or 4 weeks before you really just start seeing any kind of effect. If you're looking to lose weight, you know, first 2 weeks, you might not lose that much weight. But if you keep a trend going, 4, 5, 6, 8, 12, you're going to just start seeing that change. People are going to start noticing that change. You're going to see the change in the mirror, not just the scale. And then it's time. You can add a little something else. So, you know, park a little bit further away from the office, walk to the bathroom on the opposite end of the building occasionally, do walking meetings. I think there's a lot of little things that you put in, some of that you put in the book, that are just kind of these little things that we can do. Because the book really, like, you didn't get into advice, direct advice, but it's just those little things I can just add to my day that are going to make this a little bit better for me.
Right. And I like the idea of people choosing their own. Say, sit down with yourself and go, okay, well, what are 3 things I'm going to do for the next week or two, maybe even 3 or 4, until I'm feeling comfortable with them? What are 3 things that I can easily fit into my day that are going to be repeatable, that I'm not going to spaz over, if you will, so that they'll want to do another one. So, and maybe it's as simple as timing your meals, like just start to eat more slowly. Just that one thing, it may sound kind of easy. It's really not easy, but it creates so much awareness of what your relationship is to food. So, and kind of along those same lines, I like to mention that it really helps a lot if you're honest with yourself, because a lot of people, they underestimate the calories they're eating and they overestimate how much they're exercising.
Everybody does. You know, even nutritionists do. That's the funny thing. They even had nutritionists take that in a study and found that even nutritionists, if they were just looking at it, would often underestimate the calories they were eating. So that's easy to do, but there's a lot of good things about our human body that it actually will signal you when you're done eating, if you slow down, like you mentioned. Just that simple act of slowing down is going to give your body the time to say, hey, we've probably had enough, and I know there's still a third of a plate here, but save that for lunch tomorrow. You're done. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You're done. Well, back in the day when I was making a decision to be healthy and exercise for the rest of my life, because that's how I wanted my life to be, I realized that I'm not going anywhere. I'm me. I'm going to be with myself for a long time. So if I make small changes, so what? After a year or two, I'm still here, but I've had so many triumphs along the way. And I think one of the big mistakes people make is they feel like they have to get instant results. They have to see something in the mirror, or they're not going to keep up the motivation. But if you change your outlook on that and change what it is that's motivating you, then you realize, like, look, this is my life. This is my body. I can do something with it or not.
Yeah. And that goes back to the talking through the book is you're trying to undo habits that we've developed over a very long period of time. So making changes to them is going to take a little bit of time. There has to be some patience involved in this. But as you start to make those changes, you develop new habits. And now you self-identify as this person that does this thing.
Exactly. Right. And once we realize how long it takes us to form a habit and how complex they can be, then you can appreciate how long it can take to change that.
Yes. I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are three strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
Okay. It may not be what what most people think, which is find the right diet, find the right trainer, find the right this, find the right that. It's, as I just said, it's about thinking in the long run, in the long term. You're not going to be like, well, I'll try this diet and it'll probably be a miracle for me and I'll be so much better forevermore. That is not going to happen. So you need to think that you're not going anywhere. It's your life. The habits are hard to change and just go be in it for the duration. Because that is what you're after. You're after a lifestyle and a life going forward forever. Now, the second thing would be realizing, as we said, habits are very difficult to change. Maybe taking a pill once in a while is an easy habit. But around exercise and eating better, we have so many attitudes, so many things that we think about, so many, as you say, you might be addicted to bread. You have to go, whoa, what am I doing here? I have a problem with that. What can I do about it? And go forward like that. Then the third one is to realize that it is about self-care. So if you take a look at how bodies work, bodies need nutrients. They don't need Twinkies. Nutrients circulate all over your body to get to every single cell that you have in your body. So you want to give it the best shot at nourishing all those cells that are working for you. If you don't, you're going to feel crummy. There's no two ways about it. So get into the self-care mode and then get into the sort of problem-solving mode that you've used many times in your life. How can I be better at self-care? You're going to have to learn, what does my body really need? What are the best nutrients? What's the best way I can move for me, given my maybe limitations, my lifestyle, my lack of time? All those things can be solved, but you've got to take the time to really look at it.
Well, thank you for sharing those. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, learn more about you or the book, Lose Weight, Exercise More? I don't think so. Where would you like for me to send them?
Well, you can find the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's available in ebook or paperback at the moment. And my website is designforfitness, all one word, .com. So you can go there and I've been blogging for probably 10 years. I have all kinds of different topics that I cover on there. I'm just starting up a coaching program that is in line with the concepts in my book, helping you do one habit at a time and learn the wisdom of that. So, and my website talks about most of the concepts that I presented here.
Okay. You can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/426, and I'll be sure to have a link there in the show notes. So Kristen, thank you so much for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Kristen. And yes, if your doctor has told you that you need to lose some weight and you need to exercise more, I'd really like to be a part of that solution. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/coach and look into how online personal training can be the perfect thing for you, particularly now when the gyms are closed and we got to figure this out at home. So go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/coach to learn more about 40 Plus Fitness online personal training. Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness podcast, we meet Dr. Patricia Selassie and discuss her book, Aging Brilliantly, How to Eat, Move, Rest, and Socialize Your Way to Long Life. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.